angel in his bed. There was a devil in the bottle, but he was holding in his hand. With his hair still full of whiskey and his eyes now full of tears, he dusted off a Bible that he hadn't read in years. And he said, I am tired, I am torn, and I can't take it anymore. You see, this bottle has been my only friend, but here I am, my heart to you again. Oh, Father, can you take away these tears? She struggles with addiction. She struggles to fit in. She takes too much medication to cover up her tears. I want a pill to make her happy. Too many make her sad. Then she notices the Bible in the hotel by her bed. She says, I am weary, I am worn, and I can't take it anymore. You see, this bottle has been my only friend. Until that fire loves you.
Amen and amen. That was a fitting song, getting ready to, in a basic way to, yeah, she can hear me good. That's at least that's good, because at least I got the microphone plugged in this time. Last Friday, I did not, but thankfully the camera mic picked it up, but I got this one plugged in this time, so y'all can hear me on this. But like I said, that's a song. I know, you know, you listen to some of the lyrics, it's talking about addictions, but you know, addictions is a struggle, and many addictions can come in many forms. You know, it doesn't have to be alcohol or drugs or any other things, but you know, we can all have struggles, but we can struggle with many things that can cause many things to happen. But it's just, I had to use that song because, again, I like it, because, you know, talking to someone about part of this message, you know, today or tonight, they are dealing with many things. And I told them, I said, look, just because, you know, I've been at this for 18 years, and some of you may have been at it longer, some of you may have been at it less. Those who may listen to this longer, it depends on your time frame. We all had struggles and we all gone through things, but you know, the things that I relate to when I talk to people, especially this young lady, you know, with the addictions that she's having, I told her, I said, look, dear, you're not the only one that dealt with that. I've been there. I had that. I lived that. You know, I mean, I was not a poster child. I can tell you right now, I've been in a lot of many things, and a lot of things I care not to even mention, that some things can turn the hair on the back of your head upwards if I was to say how I was. But so I can relate to a lot of people's problems and their addictions they're facing and the sins and the temptations. It's a struggle. It's hard. It's difficult. But as I mentioned in a write-up I did this morning about struggles, you know, who said that life was going to be easy for us? If somebody out there claims that, you know, once you came to Christ, your life becomes easy. Well, let me tell you something. They're a liar. Because Jesus never promised our life to be easy. He promised, yes, our lives will get better. Yes, we're going to live an abundant life. But yes, we are going to experience trials and tribulations, hardships and pains. Just because Jesus went through all that, you think we're exempt? No. But I will say this much, and I mentioned in our Bible lesson last night, yes, folks, we're going to struggle. Always. It's going to happen. The very time that you are here on this planet, we're going to deal with them. I deal with them. I'm not going to stand here and lie to you and say, oh, I don't have no problems. Yes, I do. And they come in all shapes and forms. And I deal with them. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's hard. But I still deal with them. And a lot of times, you know, hey, I question the Lord. Why I have to deal with this? How come I got to go through this? Well, you know, Fred and Lisa, I appreciate y'all two being here tonight. You know, it is starting to become a real shame that we are trying so much in this ministry and we got so many people as actual members here are no longer wishing to show up on these Friday night sermons. I just don't know what to say anymore. You know, I'm really to a point where I'm thinking about, you know, I may shut this part down and do sermons elsewhere where at least other people have opportunities to join. You know, I might consider start doing live sermons on Facebook. At least, you know, there's people there that can join any time. It's just these people here. And I listen to them during the week. I talk to them constantly whenever I can. And I see so much struggles they're going through, and yet here's a message fitting for them to understand it and where they at. They're not here. So I'm sorry, you know, for those folks. You know, we got a couple of them that should be here tonight, but they're not. So if you're with me, you know, just bear with me on this. So I'm not sure if you've given this any thought in your life while walking with God. You know, I'm not sure if you have or not. I'm just speaking from me personally. This tonight is something that I've been dealing with, I'm still dealing with, and I'm still having a hard time, and I'm still struggling. You know, I try to do good to mask my feelings, and I don't show you to let you know, hey, I'm having a hard time, and I am. But so this is why this message is a little bit more personal, because it's really aimed at me. So, but for some time, you know, whenever you think about it, and I thought about this a lot, that the Christian walk seems to be more like whenever we make one step forward, it's always two steps backwards. Every time we seem like to make progress, we get knocked backwards. And not just one step, two steps, sometimes three, four, five, or six. Seems like it happens like that all the time. And to me, personally, folks, that's a real struggle. You know, you're making such great strides, you know, you're trying to live the righteous life, you're living according to God, you're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, you know, you're trying to do all the right things, and, you know, we do say, hey, you know, if you're being attacked, if these things are happening, you must be doing something right, and that is true to a fact. But a lot of times, it's a struggle because we get setbacks. And it's hard. It really is. And it's difficult. And others, you know, seem to keep losing their balance and they often fall. I know many who falls. Now, you know, I'm not going to get into, you know, once saved, always saved, debating all this stuff, because I believe once you are saved by the Holy Spirit, and according to the Word of God, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. See, we don't have the power to break that seal, so we can't lose that salvation. That's for the people who are truly born again. I'm not talking about imitators. I'm not talking about those who are just going with the flow. I'm talking about real, true, blue, born-again people. When you are saved, you are saved, and that's it. Scriptures backs all that up. And that's why I don't like those kind of debates, because those people who claim you can lose your salvation, I will say to you right now, if you listen to this video, you are nuts in the head. Because none of us has the power to break that from Christ Almighty. None of us. We don't have that kind of power. Once you are sealed, you're sealed. That's it. But we do fall. We do stumble. We still have mistakes. We still deal with the sinful nature. I spoke a little bit about that last night in our Bible studies. It's in here. That old sinful nature, he's just waiting for opportunity to get you to stumble. He's waiting for opportunity to get you to struggle. You know, that's why I wish, you know, God would just give us the lightning bolt, zap and burn the thing up, and we no longer sin. But yet we are here on this planet, and we're going to continue to deal with sin. We're going to fight sin. We're going to have temptation, and we're going to have problems. And yes, at times, it's hard, and we do struggle. And yes, folks, we will often fall. We will lose our balance. And I'm going to tell you straight up, and the fact is the fact, a life filled with ups and downs is going to be a normal thing for us. I tried in 18 years. I'm going to stay strong. I'm never going to struggle. I'm never going to have issues. Never going to have problems. Faith in Jesus. Yes. Praise God. Oh, I'm not going to have no issues. And that's good. But I have issues. I have struggles. I used to fall a lot. But as Lisa mentioned last night, and I like the saying that she put it, you know, when we were talking about the flesh and the spirit. If you're consistently walking in the spirit, then the falls become less and less. You still have problems. You still have struggles. But they become less. You learn how to deal with those things that come at you. And look, folks, I'm not saying our lives is easy, because my life is not easy. I have many issues, many problems. And it gets to me at times. It really, you know, sometimes it depresses me. But you know, I know that in the end, this is going to make me what I am. Do I like these struggles? Do I like dealing with them? No. But it helps me grow in Christ. Now, sometimes in the midst of our struggles, to some anyway, the question always comes to mind. And maybe you have asked it, this question, in a way that I'm fixing to pose to you, but it has come to me a lot. The question comes to my mind a lot in my struggles. Okay. Why would a loving God allow you to face such problems in your life? Why would God allow us to face problems in our lives? Like I said earlier, you know, you would think he could just, boom, take all that away and no issues. Happy, happy, happy. Lay back on a fluffy cloud with a broom straw in our mouth. Hey, nothing is going to go wrong. You think that's how we should be, right? Right? Somebody can type it right or wrong and not going to agree with me. Or are you still with me? I feel that way sometimes. I think, you know, hey, we shouldn't have issues. I'm a child of God, right? But they do come. They happen. We all experience it. And if we're truthful with ourselves, we all will say, yeah, Brother Jim, I have struggles. I really do. We all do. We have to be truthful with ourselves. And a lot of problems usually come because, again, we're being tested for a reason. A lot of times troubles come because it's something that we're doing that we shouldn't be doing. You know, but here, we think, okay, God, why? You are a loving God. Why would you allow us to face such problems? Why he can't just instantly give us a perfect life? Why can't he do that? Did you ever wonder If he is really interesting in helping you win and achieve in life, do you think you ever wonder, well, God, are you going to help me win? Sometimes life challenges, my friends, seems impossible to overcome. It does. Whenever we deal with a lot of struggles, it seems like it's really impossible for us to overcome. But did you know that in life struggles, and I hope you know this, I hope you will know this after this message, but did you know that in life struggles, many of us learns how to fly? That's how we learn how to fly, folks, in our struggles. If you got your Bible with you, our dear friend Lisa, she's going to post the scriptures for you. So our reading scriptures for tonight will be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Look what it says right there. And this is Paul speaking. And I love this passage. He says that we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight and we thank you again for giving us the opportunity to gather together. Father, as I've been struggling with this and I've been debating on this and debating and debating, I wonder why. Why this? Why these people seem like they don't care about, you know, fellowship? I hear it from them. I speak to them privately. Many of you come as John, oh, I want fellowship. I want fellowship. I want to be with other brothers and sisters. They get in here and that's it. They don't realize, I don't know what they're seeking. I don't know what's going on with them. But, you know, I just don't get it. And many come through here and hollering about their struggles and their pains and the trials and tribulations and hardships and difficulties and this and that. But yet, you know, the few of us who tries to minister to them has things to feed them. It's like they don't want the food. I don't understand, Lord. All I know is to do what I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to please you the best way possible. So I ask you to bless those two here tonight. They're here. The rest of them, I don't know what's going on with them anymore. I honestly don't. So you're going to have to deal with them the best way that you know how. I can't make them come here no more. Used to think, you know, I used to enjoy that, hey, they were here for fellowship, but it seems like there's something else going on. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. So be with us for tonight as this message is preached, and hopefully those who may listen to this thing later on may get something out of it. I know it spoke to my heart. It's still speaking to me as I stand here to preach it and as I read my notes, and it will continue to speak to me. Thank you again for your gracious love, your mercy, and your kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See, we just had a member who just got in, but yet she went off. And yet, you know, a message she sent me on Facebook, she's struggling. Well, she just got in. I don't know why she couldn't come here to the message. So again, here's what I'm saying. You know, Satan is doing his best to discourage everybody, to pull everybody away from these messages. So again, the title of this message for you, you already seen it with the bot flashing, but the online listeners, the title of this message is, and this is why I had to word it this way, you know, and I kind of borrowed little bits and pieces from other ministers, you know, not all of this is mine. But the title of this message, the way I titled it, Struggling, But Still Winning. Struggling, but still winning. Now, when you listen to this message, I am asking you carefully, I'm asking you this, that if you are struggling or having a hard time in your walk with the Lord, I would like to let you know, personally from me, I would like to let you know, you're not the only one who is. You're not the only one. I'm struggling. We all have struggles, and we deal with them all the time. And in this message, I want you to know one important thing, folks. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay to have them. And while at times it may not look too good when we are having these struggles, one thing is for sure, though, that I know, that God is with us and will help us in all the trying times that we face. Why? I know this. The Word of God says so. And that gives me comfort in my struggles. It really does. Sometimes I don't feel like it. I'm kind of all beaten up and everything else, but you know, I keep reading scriptures. Oh, God is with us. He's not going to forsake us. And sometimes my mind is thinking, yeah, right. But it's true. If you look back at all your previous struggles and you really look at it with an open mind, God was with you. He was, and he still is, and he'll never forsake us. Christ tells us this. So God's going to be with us, folks, all the time. No matter how many struggles we face, he is there. Take comfort of that, at least. Now, I found this on the internet because I like to use the illustration sometimes in sermons. A man came across a cocoon of an emperor moth. He decided to take the cocoon home because he wanted to watch the moth emerge from it. One day as he was walking past the cocoon, he saw a tiny opening in the cocoon. So he pulled up his chair and he sat there and he watched it for several hours. The moth struggled but couldn't seem to force its body past a certain point of that cocoon. So the man says, aha, I got it. He decided something was wrong. Yeah, something's wrong. So he got out his knife and he went and cut the remaining bit of the cocoon. Then the moth, he emerged easily. His body, it was very large and swollen. Its wings were tiny and shriveled. The man expected that in a couple of hours, those wings would spread out into their natural beauty. But they didn't. Instead of that moth becoming a creature to fly, the moth spent the rest of its life dragging around on a swollen body and shriveled wings. Now, what the man didn't know, that the constricting cocoon and the struggle was necessary to get through. Why? Because that tiny opening was God's way of forcing the fluid from the moth's body into the moth's wings. The merciful snip from the man was really a cruelty to the moth. You see, folks, sometimes a struggle is exactly what we need. It is through a struggle that many of us discover our wings. It is through a struggle that many of us learn how to fly. I don't know if you realize this or yet, but you are out every day in your natural life trying to figure out what life is all about. We need to recognize there are always and have been struggles. And I need to tell you, you will never understand life until you see it as a struggle, and our hope is only in Christ. We need to understand this. We need to understand at times a struggle is tied in with our capacity to suffer. Let me repeat this. We need to understand at times a struggle is tied in with our capacity to suffer. Some days are good, Some days are bad, but it's all a struggle. Look at it this way. A life is divided into five quarters. 0 to 17, the first quarter. 0 to 17 is the first quarter. 17 to 35 is the second quarter. 36 to 52 is the third quarter. 53 to 70 is the fourth quarter. 71 on up, it's overtime. See, the average person lives 74 years. That is approximately 888 months. That is 3,848 weeks. That is 648,240 hours. That is 38,894,400 minutes. That is 2,022,508,800 heartbeats. And it's all a struggle. Now, don't ask me where I got those numbers. I just saw that off the internet, so I kind of took that and plugged that into this message. But I think you get my meaning, what I'm trying to say here. You see, the reason we can't win in the midst of the struggle is because the treasure that God has put in earthen vessels. Look what 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he is. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in this world. And I quoted that last night in our Bible lessons. You see what I'm saying? And also take a look at what Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says. And we're covering that chapter in our Bible lesson. And look what that passage says. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Meditate on those two. You see, Paul tells us this, plain Jane view. And we're going through Romans systematically, chapter 8, verse by verse. And we're going to learn this as we get deeper into chapter 8. But Paul tells us, when you look to the left, there's trouble. When you look to the right, there's trouble. Even in front of me, there's trouble. There's trouble even to the back of me. But we have someone who is with us in all of those troubles. Why I know this? Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. And this is Paul again saying this. We are troubled on every side, but we are not distressed. Why? It's because we still have a hope, and our hope is in Jesus Christ. See, folks, we are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're not perplexed. We're not driven to despair because, again, Jesus Christ is in us. And I mentioned that last night, that we are now walking in the Spirit of God, not in the spirit of the flesh. So, folks, yes, there are still struggles. But believe it or not, the struggle's going on in us right now. The old man in us is still warring for control of the mind along with the Holy Spirit. And that's a struggle right there, because then again, you got to start submitting that mind to the proper authority. But now you're thinking, well, Jim, this don't sound too good, bro. It don't sound too good that we're facing trouble all the time. Well, yes. In a way, we will face troubles. It's a fact of life for all of us. It's a fact of life for Christians. And I myself has discovered this. I discovered that you don't have to find trouble because trouble will find you. That's right, folks. Trouble will find you. You don't have to find it. See, I'm amazed how trouble will drive down your street, back up into your driveway, get out of his vehicle, and walk into your house without even knocking. I'm amazed trouble would do that. You don't have to find trouble because trouble will find you. The second thing I notice about trouble is, are you ready for this? The second thing I notice about trouble is that God does his best work in the midst of trouble. God does his best work in you in the midst of trouble. How do I know this and how can I back it up? Because whatever I preach to you, I back it up with facts. I back it up with scriptures. I'm not just pulling this out of a wild rabbit out of a hat. I'm not pulling this because someone else on Facebook says this. I'm not pulling this because someone else came up with this theory. No, folks. How do I know that God works best in the midst of our troubles? I'm calling upon a few biblical witnesses according to the Word of God who faced trouble in their lives. Moses said, I got a watery grave in front of me. I got the Pharaoh behind me. But God told me to stretch out my rod. And when I stretched out my rod, he came down and put the wind in a full Nelson and made a freeway down the Red Sea. Woo-hoo! God does some of his best work in the midst of your trouble. You want more witnesses in the Bible about trouble? Well, look at those Hebrew boys. Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the fiery furnace. And what Nebuchadnezzar failed to realize that Jesus is a present help in a time of trouble. And he came and he showed up as a firefighter and he took out the flames of the fire and he turned the furnace into a fellowship hall. That's right. They started fellowshipping together in there. Nebuchadnezzar knew he threw three guys in there, but all of a sudden, that crazy fool looked in. Wait a minute, wait a minute. I see him standing. Whoa, hold on a minute. I see a fourth person there. Who threw the fourth one in there? I didn't see none of y'all do it. They were fellowshipping. God does some of his best work in the midst of our troubles. You want another witness? I got more for you. How about Daniel? Oh, yeah. He was going to get thrown into the lion's den for praying. He was praying to God, but yet, oh, you can't pray, Daniel. If you do, you're going to get thrown into the lion's den. You're going to get ate up. So what did Daniel do? We all know that. He got down on his knees. He looked out at the window and prayed and called upon God. So what they do, they threw him into the lion's den. Dude, we told you if you was going to pray, you was going to get thrown to the lion's den. But Jesus showed up as a lion tamer, and he put the lions on a 24-hour fast while he was in the den with them. God does some of his best work when we're in the midst of our troubles. Wow, Jim, that sounds good. You want more? Hey, I'm glad you asked him. Well, here you go. What about when it ran out of wine at the wedding feast of Cana? Mary told the boy, hey, go fill those water pots up with water. Or the pots up with water. And when they filled the water pots up, Jesus came in and he turned the water into wine without using grapes. He does some of his best work in the midst of trouble. Oh, here we go. Here's another one. This is a good one, folks. A woman in the Bible had an issue of blood. She had troubles for 12 years, 12 long years with issues of blood. She spent all that she had on earthly doctors, and none of them can do her any good. But one day, she heard Jesus was passing through, and she said, you know what? If I could just press my way through the crowd, and touch the hem of his garment, I know I will find pharmaceutical shop in the hem of his garment. She did, and she was cured. Jesus does some of his best work in the midst of our troubles. And you heard me say this before in previous other sermons. You heard me say that you're going to find yourself in three places. All of us will. You're going to be in one of these, I guarantee it, but you're going to find yourself in three places. And you heard me say that you're going to find yourself in a struggle. You're going to find yourself in the midst of struggle. Or you're going to find yourself coming out of a struggle. You're going to be in one of them, I guarantee it. My hope in this message is this. I hope that it will encourage you to stay read up into God's words, prayed up, and suited up, because struggles just may be heading your way. And folks, like I was telling that young lady I was talking to the other day, the only way we're going to have victory through the struggle, we have to constantly stay prayed up. We have to constantly be into the Word of God. We constantly have to have the armor of God. You slip in one of those areas, your struggles are going to get the best of you. And Paul himself says, hey, we are troubled on every side. But he said, look here. Are you ready? Now listen up. He said, we are not distressed. In other words, what he is saying, our hope is in Jesus alone. I want you to remember, most important of anything in this message, remember this, please. You have to realize, in the midst of your struggle, let me go a little slower. I know some people make fun of my accent. I'm an old Cajun boy down south. But let me let you know something real quick. In the midst of your struggles, you are not fighting to victory. Wah, wah, wah. But I'm not stopping here. You are not fighting to victory. You are fighting from victory. There's a difference. You're not fighting to victory, folks, because the victory has already been won on the cross. That's why Paul tells us this. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. And it says this, and I love this. Be thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see what I mean? You're not fighting to victory. The victory is already there. You're fighting from victory. Jesus took care of the main battle. Look, if you have Jesus, you have victory, and you're winning in the midst of your struggles. Again, Paul says we are troubled on every side, but we are not distressed, folks. We're not. Paul says we are perplexed, but not in despair, or not driven to it. Paul says sometimes the devil tries to make you suffer from temporary amnesia. The devil tries to make you forget about where your victory is coming from. You see, sometimes, and the devil's slick at this, I'm not trying to get credit to him because I don't like your guy. I hate him. But see, Satan sometimes tries to make you think, see, God's done nothing for you. Look. God's done nothing for you. You're suffering. You're having a hard time. You're having financial difficulties. You're about to lose your home. Your car's broke down. Your job is about to be lost. This. You're going hungry this night. See, God's not doing nothing for you. You're sitting there trying to pray. You sit there trying to read the word. You're sitting there trying to go to fellowship. See what I told you? You see what he's doing? He's communicating with that old sinful nature, and you're trying to tell you in your own mind, hey, God's not there for you. He will try to make you think that God's never brought you through anything. He'll try to make you think that God is not a bridge that leans over troubled waters. Paul says life is a struggle. Paul says we are perplexed, but not in despair. In other words, we got faith. We got faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We are preparing for the there and then, and we are not looking at the here and now. Folks, we're not preparing for the here and now. We're preparing for the then. We're preparing for that holy place. Here, we're just passing through. So in order to have faith, my friends, you got to activate your faith. In order to have it, you have to activate it. You have to turn it on. And you have to put your beliefs into action. I can tell you what I'm talking about. I know what I'm saying. I know exactly what I'm talking about, because when you have faith, there are some things you learn to do with God. Like my dear friend says last night, if we're walking truly in the Spirit, the things of this world and the flesh and the hearsays and everything else should be irrelevant. We should not be entertaining those things. I'm not saying this in a bad way, but it really sickens me at times when Christians get caught up in so much nonsense in this world, especially in social media. I see so many so wrapped up in all these crazy theories and these false reports and everything else, folks. I'm not seeing none of them talking about Jesus. I don't see many of them talking about salvation. I don't see many of them trying to witness. They're caught up on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, this, that, or Facebook media, this, just. And I sit here and I look at them and I say, oh my God. We're having struggles right now in this world, and you are so stupid and caught up in this. How shameful of you. This is why many of us are having struggles, because many Christians are drifting away from true holiness. If you're truly being led by the Spirit, those nonsense things, those things become irrelevant. You don't want nothing to do with them. And I was getting caught up in that myself, and I found out that it was destroying me. It was causing the majority of my struggles. And I had to learn to realize, like I told my wife last night, you know what? I had enough of that junk. I separated myself from that. And yes, it's costing me friends too, because I'm separating myself from Christian people. Because again, when I go talk to them, hey, Jimbo, you ought to see this. Look, check this link out. And I run right back to this. Look, don't send me this. I don't want to hear it. I got problems. I'm having difficulties. I'm trying to stay focused on God already as it is. I don't need to listen to all that. I don't need to listen to what you got to say. Y'all want to fight? Fight. Go ahead. Go for it. I'm focused on one thing. In the midst of my struggles, I am going to tell people about Jesus as often as I can. The best way I can. Because again, folks, I'm struggling. I can feel it. I can feel what's going on. But you know what? We need to be more focused on Christ. You think Jesus will care about any of that nonsense? No way. His goal was to reach that person to salvation. How many today could have won to God if we had taken the time to talk to him about God instead of some stupid, silly argument on the internet? Folks, we got struggles. Everybody's struggling. Everybody's having a hard time. What's wrong with us? We need to come closer and be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And this is why I am purging myself from those unnecessary things. Because again, I believe a lot of my struggles was coming from listening to unnecessary nonsense. And yes, folks, I'm still struggling. I'm having a hard time. I'm having a difficult time. I know where it's coming from, but a lot of it too, I'm bringing it upon myself. But I'm activating my faith and said, you know what? In the midst of my struggle, Lord, in the midst of my struggles, all I have is you. All I have is you. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this, folks. I hope you get something out of this, please. That's my goal. The Bible, in fact, says this. We worship God by faith. And in the midst of your struggles, we have to learn how to worship and give God your very best. Are you giving God your very best when you're wrapped up in other non-necessary nonsense? Are you? Are you giving God your very best when you're wrapped up in other people's silly arguments? Are you? Are you giving God your very best when you're wrapped up in this false report, that false report, this conspiracy theory, that conspiracy theory, and on and on and on and on? Are you? I think not. I'm sorry, but I'm calling it as it is. And if this offends you for listening to it and you want to click and leave this message, then go ahead. Knock yourself out. I'm trying to help us understand we are struggling right now. There's hard times about us. But we need to be focused on Christ. My goal every waking day, I'm constantly thinking about a lost soul going to hell because I'm not trying to find a way to reach them. So we got to learn to give God our very best in worship. And we got to learn to give God our very best every day. Every waking minute of the day. And in the midst of our struggles, look, folks, I'm speaking from my own experience. In the midst of our struggles, we got to learn to put that aside. We got to put it aside of what we're going through. There are days, you know, when I talk to some of y'all here on this chat room, I don't feel like talking to you because I'm dealing with some problems. I'm dealing with struggles. And when so-and-so comes to talk, Brother Jim, can you got time? I go, oh, what now? I don't have time for this. I'm having a difficult time. But I have to learn to put it aside. You have to put that behind you. Or should I say, you have to put self behind you. In the midst of your struggles, you have to learn to put self away. You have to learn, don't put on that little poor little old me syndrome. Look, it's hard. It's difficult. Yes, we need to talk to people from time to time. But too many people get into that poor little old me syndrome, that pity party. What we got to start doing, and it's difficult, and I've been trying to work on this a little bit lately, we have to learn how to give God praises in the midst of our struggles. We have to learn how to walk with God. And a walk with God has to be a walk of faith. We have to learn how to war for God, even though we are hurting. We have to learn how to walk with God, even though people have been laughing behind your back or in your face. We have to learn to do that. We have to learn to walk with God. You know, people have told you that you're never going to amount to nothing. I have heard that a lot. You have to learn to walk with God, even say your ministry is going to go nowhere. I have heard that a lot. You have to walk with God when everything is coming at you. I have been there, still going there, and still in it. But in all of your struggles, in all of your struggles, one thing is for sure, we are with God. And when we walk with God in the midst of our struggles, you have to learn how to give God praise. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes, some days, it's difficult to do that. It's difficult to do that. Give praise for him or what? I'm having problems here, Lord. And you want me to give you praise? Really? Are you kidding me? I sure don't feel like it. We do. We got to give him praise. Because most times, listen to this carefully, I struggle with this, and I still have a difficult time trying to accept this, but I'm working on it. We have to learn to give him praises, because most times he is about to open some doors that no man can close. He's about to close some doors that no man can open. Remember that. You see, folks, when Paul says, I am persecuted, but not forsaken, he is telling us that Satan has been coming at us in all forms, shapes, and fashion. Satan's coming at all directions at us. My dear friends, this is why Paul tells us, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. And lay hold to eternal life. Because our victory is in Jesus Christ and not of self. Your faith is not in self. Your faith is not in so-called self-help books. Your faith is not in crazy YouTube videos. Your faith is not in some kind of seminar that you take care of or go to or whatever. Your faith is not in some kind of speaker motivation program. Your faith is in Jesus Christ, not yourself. And the reason why I am saying this, because a lot of times we got a bad habit of doing this. We measure success on how long we stay up on our feet, and then we measure failure on how many times we get knocked down. That's wrong thinking. That's stinking thinking. I need to tell you, folks, I need to tell you that you can't measure failure on about how many times you get knocked down, because, folks, that is not a failure. It's not. You measure failure by when you get knocked down and you stay down. You get this? You measure failure by when you get knocked down and stay down. Take that to heart. And understand this, please, most of all. As children of God, we do get knocked down. We do. All of us do. I do. But we get back up and we dust ourselves off and get back into the race. Let's pray.